Welcome to Binary Jazz.
Got it.
A podcast about...
As I lean back smugly.
A podcast about beekeeping.
Oh, hell yeah. Let's roll.
I am here. My name is Chris. I'm Jesse. I'm on the internet. I'm here with my friends, Gary, who's Binary Gary on the internet, sometimes, I guess. And Allison, who's Allison Plus on the internet.
What am I the rest of the time?
I mean,
sometimes I'm not on the internet.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know how much we're on the internet anymore, which is sort of the funny thing.
Not much.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it sucks. Except for the job thing. It's a net negative these days.
The internet's awful. What are you even doing there? Gary has some beekeeping, which is like housekeeping, but, you know, with bees.
I was saying before we started recording that I went to my first beekeeping class last night, and then I was cut off immediately.
Yes. Well, yeah, because we want to hear about content. Your beekeeping class.
Everyone wants to.
Yeah, everyone. It's valuable content for the AI.
It's great. The class is like 5 miles from my house, so perfect. I mean, it could not be any better. And the beekeeping supply store is like 3 miles from my house. Are you kidding me? And it turns out that North Carolina has the most beekeepers per capita. All right, cool. And the county I'm in has the most beekeepers per capita in North Carolina. Rock and roll.
So you are literally the beekeeping center of the United States.
No, because climate matters. So, well, I guess maybe from a beekeeper perspective, yes, but from a bee perspective, no, bees aren't
okay.
Really.
Well, I didn't say like the bee capital. I said the beekeeping.
Yeah,
capital.
I know. It's a little. One of the things I learned last night. So no straight
answers.
I've
got so many follow up questions already.
Yeah, I think you should start with those and then I can share more.
First of all, are there beekeeping podcasts?
You know what? I honestly don't know. I'm 100% certain there must be.
Yeah.
Because the YouTube channel or YouTube, are they called channels? What are they called? Shows?
I hope it's called the latest buzz or something like that.
Let's
get buzzy.
What's
people,
the buzz?
People just strap a GoPro on their head and you can go inspect a hive with them. And wow. Oh, did you see that?
Oh, you have the little thing.
How did it do that? It's just not doing it again. What happened? I don't understand.
It was just you were really feeling the love in that moment. And
it's a new and I probably can't do it because my gloves or something. It's a new Apple thing.
I didn't even do that though. But it thought I did.
Yeah, but it thought you did.
Mine's just a broken heart.
it's the new M3 because it has some AI thing in the camera or something. So if I do this, then it'll do.
I've got the old. It's got to be a Zoom thing because this is. Is it your computer doing it?
It should be my computer. No. It's a computer thing. You don't have an M1 or M2 or M3.
I've got an M1. Yeah.
Yeah. It was probably part of an update. I didn't have. It's only the M chips. It's only the Apple chips that can do it.
I love Apple chips. Anyway, like South Georgia is where many, many, many bees come from. It's like climate's just great for them.
Are there beekeeper conferences?
Oh yes, there's two state events.
What do you do? Is it just
about bees?
Do people bring their bees? Are there like trades?
I don't think so. Generally, because I think people discuss like when, like requeening and things like that.
Or maybe they're trading the honey because it's like specific to their flowers.
Yes. So as part of this, I'm now a member of the County Beekeeping Association. I paid my $8 last night. So
that's awesome.
That's all it takes. Anyone can join. But they have a honey tasting every year. The county does. So all the beekeepers can bring in their honey. Everybody can taste each other's honey and discuss the coloration and the plants that cause that. And it's, yeah. So it was like, you know, I roll in and my expectations were not very high because it's like the meeting room of a church, right? And like, okay, it's pretty rural. I'm like, all right, well, we'll see what happens. come rolling in. There's like a few vehicles, and I walk in, and like they've got PowerPoint slides set up. They've got a dozen tables. There's already a dozen and a half people there. There's like a lineup of people getting you through checked in for the class. They hand you like a hardbound book, and they hand you the printout of the PowerPoint slide. I should show you how big this is. It's crazy.
This sounds better prepared than most like actual conferences and things I've been to.
I was going to say,
this.
Yeah.
Look at how thick that is.
Wow.
I mean, oh my this God. Is like,
that's the
this
slides.
Is like, yes. So as you're going through, you can follow along at your table, because they found that in years past, some people struggled to see the slides, or they want to take notes on the specific slide.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right. And so this guy goes up last night, and he's like walking through slides, but his second slide is like, you know, we're all just volunteers doing this. None of us are professional teachers. And then proceeded to give like the best lecture I've been to. Like, he wasn't reading the slide. He was like talking about things. He was engaging and humorous and able to answer questions on the fly. And I'm like, what? Like, this
apparently,
is like,
apparently you found your place, and it is with the bees. Maybe actually with the beekeepers, maybe.
I know, right?
Cool. I'm like, oh. Who would have thought they, I don't know, like, because I would, similar to you, be expecting, I don't know, just not that.
And so demographics of the people there, I'm like, oh man, it's going to be some like weird rednecks.
Old
and they
people.
Were there.
Old,
no,
crusty
it was,
beekeepers.
It was so diverse.
Actually, assuming that it's just going to be old people is probably a misrepresentation. It's probably a lot of, I would also assume that there's a lot of like granola hippie types.
Yep. I was just grinning the entire time. Like, this
into
is
which,
crazy. This is so cool.
Into which I think we would probably, like, this household would probably fall. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, that sounds so cool, Gary. Good for you.
So 8 more classes, and then we have field day.
What's
field? Same location, and that people will be bringing bees too. Yes. So
to like go do stuff in the hive, that like as a class experiment thing.
I mean, yes, you can get like a state certification test and some hands-on stuff. So that's available for people that are interested in doing that, but. The guy giving the presentation last night was like, you can get certified, but the bees don't care. They can't read. Are you kidding me?
Like, that joke kills.
and
hopefully it didn't kill any bees, though.
Like, some of these volunteers, like the guy that owns the beekeeping shop is one of the volunteers who teaches the course, you know? Okay, makes great sense. Wonderful promotion. But also, like, I mean, they use all, I mean, the bee pun is like every third slide. It's great.
You have to embrace it, because otherwise people will do it for you.
I'm here for it.
Gary is happy to be here.
Yes. I think that was like the second slide or something like that. And then like talking about
I'd be more upset if
be
they
careful.
Didn't do bee puns. I'd be like, I don't know what I paid $9 for.
I expected like a little more, like, you know, but no, I mean, these are people that do not take themselves very seriously. They know a lot. Happy to talk about it. Don't take themselves too seriously. I'm like, yeah, this is my jam. So I'm not sure it's possible, but I'm more excited. It is my honey. God. See, you were cut out for this. You're natural. I'm more excited now than I was yesterday, which is pretty exciting, because I was pretty excited yesterday.
Is it once a week or
once a week for 9 total weeks? Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And what will you ever do after the 9 weeks?
Well, I've already ordered bees, and so they arrive April the 8th. No, 6th. Eclipse is the 8th. They arrive the 6th. So the 6th, I'll pick up my bees, and I need to have hives set up to.
And you'll actually know at that point, you'll actually know what you're doing, theoretically.
I mean, I've read 3 books cover to cover at this point, and the area I'm most concerned about is managing, you know, disease and pests and stuff. But they're just like, you know, they're talking about like the different ways you can get started. You can buy a package of bees and like let the hive grow itself, or you can buy what's called a nucleus, where someone's taking like a chunk of their hive and giving you, you know, basically an established hive. And they're like, the best way to learn is to buy a package, like, because then you get the entire experience of like what's going on. And like, you know, there's no test at the end of this course. The test is what you do with the bees. The bees will test you. So like, it's so pragmatic and like, good luck, you know, come ask questions.
I feel like someone giving you a piece of like a chunk of their hive is like this weird blood pact. It feels like strangely intimate. Like, I'm like, who would I do that for? I don't know. I don't think I'd do it to anybody.
some of these people are talking about like, oh, I've got one of the volunteers, like, I only have, you know, three hives right now, but at one point I had 27. What? But a lot of these volunteers were like, yeah, you know, I have, you know, less than 10 hives, whatever, six or whatever on my property. And then I work hives here and here and here. So there's apparently like enough business on the agricultural side where they need beekeepers to come and work hives that are then transported to fields to pollinate, which is pretty cool.
Honey tasting at a farmer's market on Salt Spring Island at their, I guess it's weekly. I don't know. But this one lady had like five different honeys. I didn't ask how many bees she had, or how many hives rather, but each honey definitely tasted different. It was amazing. Mm-hmm.
Does she have,
because it was like a buckwheat honey, right? It was like this wildflower one,
right? Does she have the hives in different places? Like, how does,
yes, I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't get too much into it because also she kept, yeah, anyway, you know, Salt Spring is like very caftan friendly.
That's the episode title is Caftan Friendly. Better write it down before I forget.
Gary, I feel like the bee chapter is a new chapter for you.
Yeah. I'm pretty stoked.
Nice.
Pretty stoked.
Have they ever brought bees to space? Feels like a bad idea.
It does feel like a bad idea.
Does feel like a bad idea. Well, they did mention transportation last night, and they talked about, like, don't ever think that you should put them inside your vehicle, like, in the hive. Like, if you're going to transport bees, like, you need to have a container specific to transporting. Hives are not, you're getting, like, a little bit of a bump, and now you've got angry bees, and the hive has shifted, so.
That feels like something that's obvious, but yet something that a lot of people would probably be like, I'm sure it'll be fine.
In 1984, a NASA experiment sent honeybees into space aboard the space shuttle Challenger during the STS-1341C mission. The purpose was to study how bees would construct honeycombs in microgravity. The bees adapted to the conditions and built their comb, but the method of building was notably different from how they would on Earth, demonstrating the effects of microgravity on biological organisms. The experiment was part of a series of investigations into how living creatures adapt to space conditions. So yes, bees have been in space. Huh. There's the confluence of Gary's interests.
I'm just curious, what website gave you that answer?
ChatGPT.
Okay.
I asked, have bees ever gone to space?
I want to Google it and see.
I don't generally have any reason to doubt. And if I do, I'll be like, hey, can you do a Google Bing search to validate your data, and it will do that.
I've definitely asked for references. I'm like, can you back any of these claims up?
No, I recently worked on the animals in space page for history. And I didn't notice bees on there, but I was not looking at the content. But now I want to be like, hey,
well, now, Michelle, you know, mission to look should... for.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna ping her after this and be like, hey, this is really interesting, and we're not showing up in the top search results. So can you make a page about bees in space?
Bees in
space. That's exactly what I was thinking. Bees He's in space.
When you said Challenger, I froze for a moment. I'm like, oh man, so
not that
they
Challenger.
Didn't get there. Yes. Well, no, it was that Challenger. It was before. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last weekend was the was Day of Remembrance. So late January is the anniversary of Apollo 1, Challenger, and Columbia. Late January is a bad time to travel to or from space, apparently. Yeah. So there's a tidbit for you.
Well, my jam is 65,000 words in.
Wow.
Ish.
Wow. And how long have you been working on it?
The Google document has more than 200 pages now, which is the biggest Google document I have ever created.
How does that work?
When was your official, like, kind of start date? Like, how many months have you been working on this?
It was sometime late November.
Wow. That's a
lot. I wrote about, like,
load.
Like 18,000 words in, like, 3 days or something. There's, like, 3 days where I, like, just sat and wrote a lot. And then it's been, like, regularly about 1,000 words. I try to write every night for a little bit. So I write, like, somewhere in the range of, like, 1,000 words.
Yeah.
Except the days.
Does your brain feel emptier or better after you've, like... Like, does it feel like you have less, like, things you're keeping track of in your head now that it's on paper?
Things I'm keeping track of my head. No. because a lot of the time, because mostly the writing that I do is, like, sort of time constrained. So it's like, it's whatever I can churn out in the time that I have. And so I still have ideas about, like, you know, where I, like, what I want to do next. So, and that I didn't get to. So then, like each night I'm like, okay, I need to rewind. Where was I? Okay. Where was I going? Okay. But I do, like, I'm in the part where it's like if this was Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, it would be like getting into, like, the road trip, drug trip things, like, where stuff actually starts happening and things start getting close to the conclusion ish. I don't know why I made a Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas reference. Like, that doesn't.
Have you really... watched that recently? Or...
No. I think it's just because. That's, like,
a weird pull for you.
Well, so I guess it's because they're, like, my characters are like going on this massive road trip after breaking out their friend from a conversion therapy center. And so now it's like going off into the Nevada desert, and I'm planning on possibly, like, a drug trip experience when they get there.
All right.
So I think that's where the Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas came.
How does Google deal with 200 pages?
Badly.
Is it slow? Yeah.
Yeah. What I'm thinking now, like, what I kind of came to the conclusion of recently, I haven't done it yet, but I was thinking that, like, so as far as when you create a chat bot in ChatGPT, you can upload files, and it uses the files as knowledge. And when I first did it, I was, like, uploading all of my notes so that it would sort of have reference to things that I was thinking about and give suggestions based on that. Now I've got, and then I was just updating, like, the main document whenever I do it. And now it's, like, a massively large document, a single document. And then there's a bunch of other sort of supplementary things. But at this point, it almost feels like the supplementary things are less important, and that it might be more valuable to break, like, the massive manuscript into, like, chapters and upload them up separately, so it has sort of separate contexts for each, like, you know, section. But I haven't done it. But that's, like, if I was going to go and, like, spend some time to sort of rebuild or refiddle with the chat bot configuration, that's probably what I would do. I'm also, like, not really using it to get ideas anymore that much. I'm mostly using it for, like the conversion therapy center. Like, what's a name for a center that would be for rehabilitation and also subversively conversion therapy? And it just came up with a name. And I was like, cool, that's the name that it's going to be. And it was like, it came up with Harborview, which is funny because like I was thinking of like where I wanted to put it in San Francisco, which is like has no view of any harbor, which is hilarious to me. And I want to keep that in because like it's really just dumb. like a Harborview, like wellness and therapy or some bullshit. Like it's like a really like stupid title that sounds legit. And then I also asked it like, because I was trying to figure out like, so I have a character in the story. He doesn't appear in the story, but there's discussions about him who invented this like programming language that uses that like pulls in like magic and uses the like build the hardware that like channels the magic to make it actually do a thing. And then when he basically realized what he did, he kind of sent himself into exile in the Nevada desert. And the urban legend is that he bought himself a bunker and just like lives inside of a bunker and never. So I was like, where in the Nevada desert would this bunker be? And it's like the Nevada test site where they tested nuclear bombs. I'm like, okay, that's where we're going.
I guess that makes sense if you think bunker in Nevada. Mm-hmm. That seems logical.
Yeah.
I had in my head for some reason, when you said Harborview, before you said San Francisco, I thought the setting was in Nevada.
And no.
I was thinking Harborview, Nevada.
Yeah, that's even better.
Yeah. Or like any kind of like tree, you know, like.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Myrtle Place or. I don't know.
Yeah, like, and even in asking the AI, like, where would a good location for this be? Like, it's not my intent to actually name the place, but I will, like, I do want to have in my head, like, the route that they take so I can describe, like, you know, how they get there, kind of. Like, I know how to get to various places in California and Nevada because I've driven through them. I haven't been to the Nevada test site. But like, I kind of know like the route that you could take and like what those highways look like. And I want to like have in my head, like, you know, are they going over the Bay Bridge or the Golden Gate Bridge? Are they bypassing the bridge entirely and going south and going, you know, like how would they actually travel there? And at what point do they like get out of like civilization and just like are out into rural California or something?
I had a question and I didn't want to interrupt, which is not like me at all.
Gasp.
And I lost it.
that part feels more on brand.
Yeah, that's
very on brand. Yeah.
But yeah, now it does okay if I copy paste like a chapter and say, hey, how's this chapter work doing and how's it compare with the previous chapters and stuff like it. And I've actually like added instructions to say like, when I ask for feedback, this is the type of things I want you to look at. And it seems to follow those rules. I made a public chatbot the other day. It was actually your WordPress question, Allison, that made me think, hey, is there a WordPress bot? If not, like, because I was just like, basically, I took your code snippet and I just dropped it in ChatGPT and said, what does this do? And are there bugs with this?
Were there?
and it told me what it did. And it said, you know, it seems legit, basically. And like, okay. So then I was like, well, like, instead of just asking ChatGPT, it seems like there should be a way to like ask a ChatGPT that is specifically focused on WordPress. So I was like, I'm going to make a GPT that's WordPress developer assistant. So yeah, there's now a public GPT that's called WP developer assistant. I think that's authored by me. There was a bunch of others that were already there. I don't know if mine is better, worse.
Well, we'll say that it is.
Yeah. I said, look for docs on the developer site and WordPress.stack overflow or whatever for stuff, and the really important thing is, if you don't know the answer to a question, don't answer it, just say you don't know.
Yeah, like, don't come on.
I mean, that's the problem. That's the biggest problem with AI is when it doesn't know it, it makes something up.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with a lot of people.
But that's true.
But I've seen I've seen it invent like WordPress APIs and functions and stuff. Like, oh, yeah, this exists, surely.
It definitely did that with me. And I was like, oh, wow, is there a filter that? And I was like, no, you literally just made this up.
Yeah.
I'm like looking in the docs, being like, oh, what do I pass into this? So then I'm just like, just nothing. It's a figment of your imagination.
Yeah.
Those are great plugins then. You know, like that kind of ridiculous filter.
Mm.
ChatGPT thinks it should exist, so it should exist.
Yeah. Surely.
Somebody get on that.
Oh, I know what I want to talk about. Remembered. It's totally non sequitur.
You looked like you had a thought. It was...
I was mumbling over earlier. Bees are the sixth. Eclipse is the eighth. There's a whole class about weather, and I can't wait to dig in and understand. Like, I was a year ahead of where I am, so I really understand what I'm seeing. But what are the bees going to do when the eclipse comes?
Mm.
How? I mean,
guess you'll find out because you'll have bees. Oh wait, you won't find out because you won't be there.
Right, I'll be somewhere else.
You'll be somewhere else.
Yes. I originally was going to do the thing where, like, book a hotel outside of totality,
mm-hmm.
and then have flexibility to say, where am I going to drive in? But then I was like, you know what? Like, best case scenario, I could book a hotel in totality,
right?
And we could just walk and not have to worry about, like, fighting traffic afterwards when people are heading back, because apparently that's mayhem. So, yeah. That's my plan.
Yeah, last time there was a full, a total eclipse, we booked, it was actually Aaron's dad who booked us a campsite in Idaho in totality for like a week. So we just spent a week up there going to like, it was like by I don't remember what river it was by, but it was by some river where there's lots of salmon. So we went to like the river.
Let's call it Salmon Creek.
Sure. And
Cypress Springs.
We went rafting on the river. We went to the lake. And
Palm View.
And then when the day came, we just like sat in our camp chairs and had our little glasses looked up in the sky.
Was this the last one back in October?
No, it was several years ago.
2017.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yep. I, you know, in preparation for this, there's like an expectation that our website traffic is going to be significantly higher, which is accurate. But looking at the metrics that they had from the last one, it was like a 10x increase in traffic. I can't imagine that will be the case this time, since they're kind of just that kind of just happened in 17 and then Western population last year. You know, I mean, it hit some major population centers, but it's not like when it, the last one where it went, you know, right across DC, you know, not that last one, 17. With that wonderful picture of Trump staring at the sun. Jackass.
That was a deep sigh for anyone who's not.
Do you
watching.
Feel about the United States like most of the United States feels about Florida?
Thoughts, feelings.
Yeah, but see, the thing is that with Florida, most people who don't live in Florida can write it off as like, that's funny and not my problem. I feel like
Canada,
Allison being dual citizen, like it still kind of is, I would imagine, your problem, even when it's not.
Yeah, like I can still vote in presidential elections.
Oh no, this is my circus and these are my monkeys.
Yeah, I'm like, oh no. Also, what happens in America, like whether or not how much people want to admit to it, really affects Canada's politics. And yeah, there's like direct correlation on how vocal certain groups are.
If you vote in US elections, what state records your vote? Is it the state?
California.
So it's the state that you...
The state that I was a last, like a resident.
Last resident. Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, like where do those votes go?
I know. Honestly, I every time I get some sort of ballot, I'm like, I don't understand how this works. Part of me doesn't even know if it is working, but I'm going to keep sending in my vote.
Oh.
But you can't vote on like state stuff.
No, just no.
Federal stuff. Yeah, and just presidential. And I can't, you can't vote for.
I can't vote in the primaries because I don't. Yeah. I'm not a declared anybody.
You're not a. You don't have a party.
Yeah.
A U.S. party. Presumably, you have a Canadian party. Maybe.
No. I mean, I guess. Like secretly, I do. But I mean, not secretly, but like I'm not registered. A declared party member. I'm not registered anywhere.
Yeah. Is that a requirement?
In Canada?
Yeah.
Not that I know of. I mean, I think it is if you're like in parliament or like if you're really in really involved in politics, obviously, but.
I always remember the Ecology Party in Florida.
Ecology Party.
Which I just wanted to be a member of like some minority party, honestly.
Is it like the Green Party or is it something else?
I'm not clear.
Yeah.
I
not clear.
I was a member of a number of silly down the list parties in California. And then I moved to Utah and the majority of those don't exist. And the Democrats have such a big problem doing it, getting anything done. So I registered as a Democrat, even though
that was my logic.
I mean, if there was going to be a thing to do, like, yeah, because I like registering green in Utah isn't going to help anyone.
Yeah,
I was registered green for a couple years.
So there was no Green Party in Florida, at least when I went to register. They
what
were
did Ralph Nader do
something? I
guess he maybe he just didn't care about Florida because he wasn't going to get votes there anyway.
Well, I think it came and went in Florida. I don't know what the regulations are in Florida in keeping a party.
Yeah,
going.
Yeah.
Number of registered. I have no idea.
I think our Green Party fizzled actually in the last couple of years. So yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, and like okay, I mean, here we are. Speaking of green, how's your Prius working?
It's working. It's working better than it was before.
What was the resolution?
It
was either going to be something easy or something like that cost $1 billion.
Yeah. So it was
$1 billion.
it was essentially the coolant that goes that is used to sort of cool the battery. The hose was basically like melted. So like I think the battery was just overheating and wasn't able to get cooled. So that's why it was just like power down. And that's why at a certain point, it just started working again. I mean, not started working. At a certain point, it stopped working because then it couldn't get any, like it just wasn't able to make the connections at all. I can't remember exactly, but my memory of it is what happened.
So it was fairly inexpensive. It was a hose replacement.
Well, it was a hose replacement, but it was one of those hose replacements that you have to like, take a whole bunch of shit
turn
out.
The car upside down to,
right exactly to it, yeah. So it was not super expensive. It was actually rather, but I mean it was that it was cheaper than getting a new car.
Yeah,
and he's
I'm telling myself today, we're doing struts on the van today.
He's like it's got like
sounds like a much cooler part than it actually is.
It's got like 150,000 miles on it, I think, and he's like you should get to 200 or 250 easy with this, like with like this is fine.
You know what happens at 250?
It blows up.
No, you've gone the distance from the Earth to the Moon.
Oh, okay.
I'm holding out for that with my old blue car. I don't want to get rid of that thing until it's
you travel to the moon.
I mean, I have only had it for a few years.
We're definitely going to travel to the moon.
It's traveled to the moon.
It's definitely going to have traveled to the. We're definitely going to travel to the moon in our CRV before we travel to the moon in the Prius.
I need
if traveling to the moon.
I should just take that blue car to watch the eclipse. There's some free miles.
If traveling to the moon is a measure of distance, then
I'm gonna have to see how many kilometers we have in our car. I have no idea.
And then you'll need to do the conversion.
And then I'll need to do the conversion.
Because you're traveling to the moon will be different.
Is it closer?
Is the moon closer to Canada?
Yes.
It's closer when you're in kilometers.
That's what I figured. Yeah. The math is easier, at least.
Is it?
Well, yeah.
I think it's actually the opposite, but anyway.
The math is harder?
We can stick with it.
Well, no, I mean, it would be more kilometers than miles. I get that part. But
yeah,
okay.
It's like all divisible by tens and hundreds and
opposed
to
that
miles where,
yeah,
you know. What's miles and feet?
But the math for converting kilometers to miles is not any easier.
Mm-hmm. No, it's probably no.
I've been doing a lot of converting dollars to yen because I have
exciting.
No concept of the conversion rate.
Yeah, no, I would. I have
concept of the conversion rate. Other than that, 1,000 yen is not a lot of money.
You don't have to get immediate sticker shock. You can just be like, okay, let's just figure out some of this math.
So here's my thought process. A 5K is 3.1 miles. Okay. So 3.1 to let's just 31 to 25, that's six. So about 1/6. So it would be 430,000-ish kilometers. Now I'm curious how close that is, like using bullshit estimation.
that was the most napkin math.
Yeah. How many kilometers away is the moon?
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Special thanks to Serpiente Negra Ensemble for the use of their tracks for our intro and outro music. You can find them online at serpientenegra.bandcamp.com. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the forum on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.